This morning, in the midst of trying to put things together for a message, and then kind of staying with joy, last week was consecration through the blood, which talks again on understanding God and the blood of the Lord and how we have victory through the blood of Jesus. We have power through what? The blood of Jesus. If you've ever, and I know this, I will attest to this 100%. If you've ever been in a battle and it feels like you're overwhelmed and you're down, and I won't tell you that I haven't, and I won't tell you at times I feel overwhelmed, okay? But I will tell you this. If you've ever been in those battles and you ever feel overwhelmed and you've fought every way you can, and I have literally just got to the point where I said, okay, Lord, I'm done dealing with this my way. The blood of Jesus upon Satan and what he's trying to do, I turn this over to you in the name of Jesus. And you know, that works. I kind of wish I would have done it in the beginning. Would have made life a little easier. But you know, us as humans have a tendency to always do the best last. And, you know, we get kind of caught up in that way. But that all being said, through that blood, through the consecration of his blood. So in all that, I decided, okay, let's go another step. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Victory is defined as the defeat of an enemy. Okay? We may desire victory over terrorism today. We do. Ask your president. He'll tell you. And you know, we're claiming somewhat victory, but we haven't got it yet. We may even desire victory over so many failures in our world today. And we're trying to claim victory over things that are going wrong in society, in your own life, in your job capabilities. You want to claim victory over that. But I want to say something. What we need is not victory over, but victory in Jesus. So many people want victory over. They got the wrong point. I believe we need victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus is defeat of the enemy through the power of Jesus Christ, through the power of his blood, through the power of his resurrection, through the power of him sitting on the right hand of God. That's victory. We can claim victory over all we want, and we'll never get victory over until we get victory in. Amen? ABC World of Sports used to use this words when they opened up their sports review. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. There is nothing as exciting as winning. Amen? The taste of victory in our lives is sweet. Victory is essential to our health and our happiness. Defeat is destructive to our lives. And remaining in defeat can destroy our faith. Now let me say that again. Because there's too many Christians out there today that walk around in defeat. You know, and some of them feel they have to. Some feel that they're doing this for the Lord. I'm walking in defeat for the Lord. Well, hallelujah. They can't even raise their head up and say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because they're so gloom and doom type of people and so negative type of people, they can't get the victory in Jesus. They're stuck in defeat. Oh, my goodness. They might have been defeated in something that they did for the Lord once before, and they have not been able to get out of that defeat. They've got stuck in it. It is not God's will for your life to walk in defeat, but it is his will for you and I to rise up in the middle of Satan's attacks upon our lives and live in victory. Did you just hear what I just said? That it is God's will for you and I to rise above his battles, above his attacks, above anything he tries to do, above anything this world tries to put upon you, above you losing your job, above you losing your finances, above you losing your house, above you losing everything, and get defeat in Jesus. Because when you get defeat in Jesus, you have won the battle. You will not get over anything, because you won't. There'll always be things that'll try to pull you down. There'll always be things that'll make you try to be over you. Okay? Satan will try to be over you. Your job will try to be over you. This world will try to be over you, and get you down. But when you're victory in Jesus, there's nothing this world can do. Nothing this world can throw at you. Nothing this world can put against you. Because you have victory in Jesus. Say it with me. Victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, it sounds good for you, but I just have a hard time with it. And it's impossible to live in victory without a victorious concept. And here's the good concept I want to give to you today. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15. See, that's all just part of my preliminary message. Now I got to get you into the meat of the message. Chapter 15, and I'm going to start with verse 50. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I love that. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Ooh, hallelujah. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus. Did I just say that? Victory in Jesus. He gives us victory through Jesus for what Jesus did. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Heavenly Father, take these words and enlighten them into our heart. Take these words, O God, I pray, Lord Jesus, in your mighty name, O God, and make them engraved into our heart, O God, that we will understand what you want and what you desire. Lord, let your anointing move upon each and every one of us, I pray. Because this is you, Lord. This is what you want, O Lord. And whatever you desire, Lord, let it be. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says, 1 John, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, are you born of God? That was a little weak. Let me try that again. Are you born of God?
We are.
Okay. So if you're born of God, okay, then you overcome the world. Oh my goodness. That's power. That's power. That's power in knowing who you are. You need to know who you are. Hallelujah. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, What is it?
Our faith.
Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? There's many people that believe in Jesus, but it gets a little lacking when we start talking about who he really is. Okay? There's people that believe, there's a lot of denominational religions that believe in Jesus as a prophet, a good person. But when you lay in the next realm of who Jesus really is, he's the Son of the living God that tears down the denominations and puts down who we really are. First of all, I am not Assemblies of God.
Amen.
I am a child of the living God. Now, I love my denomination, but it's God first.
Yep.
It's what he wants first, and then my denomination comes in after that. And that's the way you have to believe, because there's too many Christians out there that they put their, and I know because I'm out there every day dealing with all the different denominations, all the different religions, and I get them all, and I have to abide by all of them in my work I do. But you know, they don't get the picture. And when I walk in the door to talk to someone, and you know, I did this when I first started with Affinity. Let me give you this story. I walked in and I was told by the social worker, well, I want you to know right off, this guy's an agnostic. I said, hallelujah. She said, what? I said, okay, well. So I walk in and I sat down next to him and he looked at me and pointed his finger. He says, I want to tell you right now, I don't want any of this Jesus business. I don't want to know that. You know, I'm agnostic and I love it. And I sat and I said, praise the Lord. You know, I'm not religious either. And he said, aren't you a pastor of a church? Aren't you the chaplain of this servant of this Infinity? I said, yes, but that doesn't make me religious. So what you talk about? Which opened the door. Says, I don't believe in religion. Religion binds you. Religion puts boundaries on you. What I will tell you, if you want to know what I do believe? Now that got his interest. Because I asked him, do you want to know what I do believe? He said, yeah, I really do. I said, okay, I'll tell you. I believe that I have a relationship with my Heavenly Father in heaven. Jesus. Him and I have a relationship. I can talk to him and he can talk to me. Religion stops that from time to time, but that relationship grows. Well, you know, I kind of like that. I can believe in relationships. And for the next year, we had the greatest time, and I worked him through that agnostic point of view. And by the time it was all said and done, he opened the door to understanding there is a God up there. And it was really good. But do you understand that? So we're not here about religion or denomination. You know what we're here for? To let our relationship with Jesus grow. There's an old saying, you are what you eat. Maybe I am a little bit too much what I eat. Probably, that's what it is. I believe it. It's those seeds. You know, when I was young, that's what my mom would always say, Terry, you got to make sure you put those seeds out. If you don't spit those seeds out, you're going to grow a watermelon inside you. And I actually believed her. You know, that's the southern part of us. You know, I'm born in Memphis, Tennessee. So that was a southern part of me that believed it. When I got to California, I forgot and didn't believe that anymore. The same is true for our lives. If you are defeated in your thought life with negative thoughts of failure, then you will never, never, never be a winner. You will never have victory. So remember that. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 4, and I say this out of the King James, if you don't mind. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So I hear to tell you this morning that we need to die to our carnal. Did you know Christians can be carnal? There's a lot of them out there. And I'm not going to tell you that there's some carnality in us that I deal with on a regular basis. But the Bible is telling us that we must die to our carnality, our fleshly desires. They're there. They're there. Come on. We must die to them and walk in the Spirit. That means walk with God's Spirit in you. When you are born again, you receive the Spirit of God in you. You receive Jesus. So let Jesus grow and your flesh die. Your carnal flesh. Come on. That's gotten a little hard. I hear it getting a little quiet in here. Huh? Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:58 again. And this time I want to read it in the Amplified. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose. Did you guys grab the hold of that? I told you I like the Amplified. Woo! This verse gives us three commands. It doesn't give us three thought patterns. Well, think on this. No, it's giving you commands that if you want to live with a victorious life in Jesus, if you will follow these commands, you will live victoriously. You will not live in defeat. You will look defeat in the eye and say, in the name of Jesus, get behind me, defeat. You know? And I'm not going to tell you that there might be defeat in your life. Because you will. You're human. We're all going to go through things that we're to get defeated over. I mean, I've gone through them. And I won't tell you they're easy. They're hard. But God says, get over it. Get over it. Get over it. Get your victory in Jesus. Not over Jesus, but in Jesus. Would you like to know these commands?
Sure.
Okay. The very first one found in the Amplified, it says, be firm or steadfast. Be firm. The Greek word for steadfast means hedrachos, meaning to be settled, sealed, and firm in the truth of the resurrection and victory in Jesus. It means that. So, it's telling us to be firm in God. Keep your salvation firm. Don't let it waver. Hallelujah. Hebrews 3:14 tells us to be steadfast unto the end. This means no matter what you are going through, hold on. Hold on in your faith in God. Hold on. No matter what you're going through. Seneca, a Roman Stoic philosopher, wrote these words about earthquakes. And he actually wrote these words. How many of you saw the movie Pompeii? Okay, do you understand that was true? That really happened? Seneca, after visualizing and seeing the earthquake in Pompeii, wrote this about earthquakes. What can one believe quite safe if the world itself is shaken and its most solid parts totter to their fall and the earth loses its chief characteristics, stability? Now, that's a philosopher, but I have something to say. that his words have a spiritual application. All around us, we see things totter and fail that seem stable. I mean, you and I, we can look back and we can see them. You know, the economy, you know, it's continually, you know, unstable. Look at Wall Street. Look at our stocks and bonds, or our stocks. They go up, they go down. When you think everything's good, they drop to the point, and you start to worry. And all you see on TV, well, now don't, you know, all these people, they worry every day what's going to go up or what's going to go down. So it's no stability. What Seneca was saying was, that's our world. What we want and what we think is stable is not stable. So many things happen in this world, okay? Organizations, institutions, people, religions. When we talk religions, they're not even stable. We look for something dependable, stable, and unchangeable. But I'm here to tell you, we're only going to find that. We're only going to find that by faith in the living God, the rock of our salvation. No matter where we look in this world, no matter how we look in society, no matter what we do, it's always going to fail you. Friends will fail you. Loved ones, and I'm being just honest, loved ones will fail you. But Christ will never fail you. He's the rock of Gibraltar. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's always, always there.
And on time.
And on his time. Sometimes we say, Lord, why didn't you do it at this time? Well, it wasn't his timing.
That's what I meant by on time.
Yeah. So be firm, be steadfast. The second one, be unmovable. Be unmovable. Let nothing shake your faith or move you away from the hope that's in the gospel. Be unmovable. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 in the Amplified says, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the living God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding. Oh my goodness. And it will be given you. Only it must be in faith that he asks, with no wavering, no hesitation, and no doubting. Okay? For the one who wavers, hesitates, or doubts is like the billowing surge out at the sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being he is a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, he feels, he decides. Don't be caught up in the changes that is going around you. We have cultural changes every day. We have cultural changes that take place in this world, our society, the world we live in is changing. Okay? And as this world changes, I'm sorry to tell you, is not changing to your benefit as a Christian. This world is changing to the benefit of the non-believer. What is that telling you to do? Stand in defeat? Be defeated? Or follow along with the cultural society that's going? Or stand up, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. What did I say earlier that, you know, that God, our Lord Jesus, is going to come in a twinkling of an eye. And I believe he's on the verge. He's on the verge. I believe if God had his way, this world would have already been doomed and gone. But I think my Lord Jesus who came, who knows this world more than anyone, that sits on the right hand of God, that is always interceding for you and I, that looks to God when God says, okay, it's time. And Jesus says, no, Daddy, no, no, Father God. I went down, I shed my blood, I died a human death so that those people down there would have a chance to know me. God, give my people more time. Give my people more time to see and draw more people in. Because I understand when you come, it's going to be over. And those that are lost will be lost. And I'm paraphrasing, but I'm thinking what Jesus would think. Give me more time, Lord. Give me more time, God. You know, and I say that too. Lord, give me more time. Give me more time. I need to get out there and win more for you. Right out this door. You know how many people out there are dying that need a Savior? That need someone? They don't have anyone. They are defeated. They are hopeless. They are lost. And the only one they have is the candlelight that I talked about on Thursday. That's your light. You could be in the darkest cavern, the darkest cave, and be the only light in that cave, the only light in that cavern, and yet that light shines and the whole cavern's lit because of you. Because of you. Let your light shine. Be unmovable. Now the last one I have for you this morning. Always abound in the work of the Lord. Always abound in the work of the Lord. Knowing that you do what you do for the Lord. I always say what you do for the Lord will count. Only what you do for the Lord will count. But I also want to add this. Knowing that what you do for the Lord will be rewarded. Wow! Rewarded! 1 Corinthians 3:8 says in the Amplified, he who plants and he who waters are equal, one in aim, of the same importance and esteem. Yet each shall receive his own reward, his own wages, according to his or her labor. According to what you do. According to what you do. In Isaiah, the Lord had a job for someone to do. And he asked, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? He needed a messenger. And he is asking who will do this job. The Lord has chosen to use men and women in his service. He's chosen you. Okay? He's not looking for some angel. He could have. He could have brought any of the 10,000 angels to come down here and do his messages. But he chose you. That shows how much he loves you. There is a lot of work to do, and we need a lot of workers to do the job. Isaiah responded to the Lord's call by saying, here am I. Send me, Lord. Oh my goodness. He wanted to be used of God. He was willing to work for the Lord no matter what. He wanted to be used of God. He knew the work was out there. He knew the laborers, oh Lord, were few. But he also knew that he wanted to be one of them. Let me say this morning, that God is looking for messengers today. He is looking for men and women, boys and girls, who will spread the good news of the gospel to a lost world. And I want to add this before it's too late. Do you get that? Because there's going to come a time when it will be too late. We need people who are willing to get involved in serving God and doing his work. However, just as with any job, there are some requirements to do the work of the Lord. There are some demands that must be met. And I want to give them to you. The work of the Lord demands a vision. A vessel.
Yes, a vessel.
A life of vitality.
Yes.
And a willing to volunteer.
Wow.
I want to say that again.
Lord, send me.
Because you could say, Lord, send me, but not have the requirements. That doesn't mean that you're to defeatedly say, well, I can't do it because I don't have the requirements. It's telling you to go get the requirements. If you feel that you don't have the ability, ask God. God will give it to you.
Yes, he will.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He needs a vessel. You need a vision. What you need to do is just walk out the doors. You'll get a vision. Walk down the streets of 4th Street or 2nd Street, you'll get a vision. You know? There's many people out there, many people out there that need to know the Lord. They need God. And they're a defeated, hopeless generation that need God. And you are. You are the person. You are the vessel. You need a vision. You need to look out that door and say, you know, I love missionaries, and I'm glad we support 4. We need to support a lot more. But did you know the mission field is right out that door? Did you know that when you walk out that door and you're walking home or you're going home, you meet people day in and day out? Somebody needs the Lord. A life of vitality and the willing to volunteer. Will he find that in us? Will we be like Isaiah of old and say to him, here am I, Lord, send me. Let me ask you a few questions this morning. Are you born again? Maybe I should ask that again. Are you born again? That should not just be, oh, well, I think I am. Oh, yeah. I would be saying with a shouting voice, hallelujah, I'm born again. By the way, you're not Methodist. You're not Presbyterian. Hopefully, you got a little bit of Pentecost in you, and you're gonna let the rest of the world know I got a little Pentecost in me and say, hallelujah, I'm born again. I don't think it. I'm not guessing it. I'm it. Be assertive to the devil, because the devil sure will assert himself in you. So, are you born again? Okay. Have you been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? Trust him today and commit yourself to the work of the Lord. Christians, are we really involved in the work of the Lord? That's not an answer for you to answer now. It's a thought pattern for you to think. For God, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to compel you to think. I'm pushing your thought patterns. I'm pushing you guys in your spiritual walk with God as a born-again believer to make you think. Are you really working the way you need to be working for the Lord? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Think on that. Think on it. Are we doing what God would have us to do? Don't answer it, but think on it. And then I ask this final question. If not, why? Why? This morning, let us remember to always have that victory in Jesus. No matter what you are going through, be steadfast in the Lord. Be unmovable in the Lord. Always at work at his work, at your job, at your home, out in play, at the movie theater. Whatever we do, be it God's work. Praise the Lord. And honey, I got the song on video.
Oh, you do?
I found it on video. We're going to do a song this morning, Oh Victory in Jesus. Say this with me this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stand. Praise the Lord. Turn it up, honey. Turn it up. Our Savior came from
glory. Now he came aside on Calvary.
precious blood atoned me. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew Him, and all my love is through Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
I've heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew Him, and all my love is through Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the
victory in You, O Lord. Hallelujah. This week, take that victory in Jesus with you. Go out and search the highways and byways and find someone that doesn't have that victory. That's someone that is defeated for whatever the reason might be. And say, you don't have to live in defeat, but you can live in victory through Jesus Christ. And lead them to the Lord. Hallelujah. Lead them to the Lord this week. Lean someone. Yes. Heavenly Father, thank You for everyone here. Thank You for Your love. With every knee head bowed, every eye closed, I do ask this morning, if any of you, if you have a need, maybe you don't really know the Lord. Maybe this victory in Jesus has really brought something to your mind, something to your heart. And you will say, Pastor, I need your prayer. You'll say that this morning, and by lifting of your hand, I'm going to pray for you. Well, I believe most everyone here is really born again. But I do ask that, like I always do. That's, if you're discouraged this morning, raise your hand. If you're going through something this morning, raise your hand. Yes, I see those hands. I see those hands. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, right now, I pray for everyone that is going through something, oh God. going through a discouragement, oh God, going through a defeat, oh God. They are not defeated in you, Lord. The world will defeat them. Things will defeat them. But God, you will not, in the name of Jesus. I commit that victory in you to their lives, Lord. And that they will go out of these doors in victory in you, Lord. And no matter what might seem to be a defeat, turn that defeat into victory. In the name of Jesus. What might seem to be a discouragement, turn that discouragement into joy. Hallelujah. And I pray if Satan is battling beyond belief, I pray the blood of Jesus be upon their lives. In the name of Jesus right now. In your mighty name. We submit this, we commit this, and we turn it over to you right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, you're not allowed to leave this building until you've shaken every hand in the... We're not big, so we can do that. We don't have a lot. You shake their hand and you give them the encouraging love that they need. God bless you all.